But we're here tonight to focus on the wonder and the celebration of Christmas. Christmas, the time when we think about the glory of God revealed in the face of a newborn baby. The power of God shown through his humbling himself to trade his power for human frailty. Think about that. The love of God revealed through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of King Jesus. The presence of God shown in the birth of a child that would be called the light of the world. And that light would come into this world and come for a purpose. We talk about Jesus. Why did he come? To be the visible manifestation of God's love for us. For God's redemptive plan for mankind to indeed bring us hope and love and joy and peace. And I love that at Christmas we celebrate how God did this thing and he did it on his terms. It's one of the things about the God of the Bible is God does things on his terms. Like God could have chosen any means that he wanted to bring the Savior into the world. And Christmas tells us and reminds us of how God did so, softly and gently through a newborn babe. And I love that God did this and chose to put himself into the story of our redemption. And we celebrate Christmas because it was God's plan to save us in this way. What I'd like to do is I'd like for us to read a couple of verses with this idea of the light of the world together. Would you stand with me? And I have three verses up here that we're going to read regarding this light, and we'll read this together, all right? Ready? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All right, go ahead and be seated there. And let's pray together. Father, we just want to stop on this Christmas Eve. And Lord, we thank you that you have shown us your glory and revealed it to us through Jesus the Son. As we take time tonight, we don't want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just sing songs that we've sung before maybe hundreds of times and hear this story that we've heard dozens of times. No, Jesus, would you right now just put everything else out of our mind but our focus on you and you alone. I mean, we don't want to miss the Christ of Christmas. So we want to love you tonight, want to praise you, glorify your name. We want to thank you, Jesus, for being the light of this world. We pray in your name. Amen. So if you are familiar with the Bible, and especially the Gospels, and specifically the book of John, Jesus made a bunch of these statements that we call the I am statements. He says, I am, I am, I am. And when he makes these I am statements, everybody at that time hearing the sound of his voice, they knew exactly what he's talking about when he says, I am. Because they knew that back in Exodus, when Moses was asking God, when he was saying, who should I tell the people has sent me to deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh? And God told Moses in Exodus 3:14, he told him, he said, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people, I am has sent me. So when Jesus said, I am, people were tracking with him there. They knew what he was talking about. See, Jesus said, and he made these bold statements. These are very bold statements. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are strong statements. I mean, nobody makes a statement like that in passing or flippantly. When someone says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there's a line in the sand that's been drawn. And either you're for it and you agree with that statement, or you don't. There's no halfway in between those things. Either he was Lord or he was a liar. He said, I am the good shepherd. Bold claims, because Jesus was indeed a bold man. It really kind of bothers me sometimes to see how Jesus has been represented through the centuries in art especially. Right? You've seen these pictures of Jesus where he just looks like he hasn't eaten a burrito in years, and he just looks so frail, and he looks like a starving Scandinavian sometimes. And it's like, I'm pretty sure that's not what Jesus looked like. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. I know framers. I know guys that are woodworkers and who work with their hands, right? Those are like manly men. Jesus was a man. He was bold. He was strong. And he made this claim. And one of those bold claims was in the book of John when he said, Jesus speaks to the people publicly, and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. I mean, he said this publicly. If you were with your family today and you're walking around the village and enjoying the shopping and the restaurants and all the beautiful things there, and hey kids, let's go look at the fountains, and you turn the corner and some dude there, and he's got a crowd and he's telling people there, I am the light of the world. You would have said, hey kids, let's go the other way, right? You gotta understand, like, we read these things in such almost flippant passion, context. And when Jesus says this stuff, this was like, nobody said this kind of stuff. So when you make a statement of, I am the light of the world, one of those really cool things about being the light of the world is this. You ever think about in the creation story, in the creation narrative in Genesis? Before God creates the sun and the stars, God says, let there be light, and there is light. Well, there's no celestial, like, there's no stars yet. So what was the light at that point? It was the Lord himself. Like, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he really literally means the light of the universe, of everything. And this was prophesied, speaking about when he would come into the darkness in Isaiah chapter 60. I want you to read along on the screen up there as I read it to you here. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come. That's what we're celebrating right now. Our light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Remember the angels talking to the shepherds? Saying, rise, the glory of God is upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be sent upon you, and nations shall come to your light, as we indeed have, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you, your sons shall come from afar. It's prophetically speaking here of Gentiles in the book of Acts when they would come into the kingdom. And your daughters shall be carried on the hip, and you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Love that passage there, speaking of the light of the world conquering the darkness. See, the significance of tonight and this time that we observe Jesus' birth, the significance of the greatest light ever is that it came to destroy the greatest darkness ever. You realize that for 3 hours during Christ's crucifixion, there was darkness upon the entire earth. For 3 hours, and darkness thought it had won. Darkness thought the light had been defeated. But as we will celebrate in a few months, up from the grave, the light arose, and he conquered sin and death and hell as the light of the world. He is the light. Because as God the Son, Jesus came to the earth to be our Savior, the Savior of the world. And we love that word. That's one of my favorite words to describe Jesus. And there are so many things, but he is our Savior, the Savior of the world. You know, there are some words that should carry weight behind them. Savior is one of those words. And we use that word, Savior, in very hyperbolic fashion. Okay, I grew up in Chicago, grew up a big Michael Jordan Bulls fan, loved the Bulls, and Jordan won 3 championships, and we're like, we're going to win, you know, hundreds of championships. And so he gets bored, and he retires from basketball, and he plays baseball. It's like, what are you doing? And I can remember, we didn't win any more championships. And then I remember one day, there's this buzz across this huge city of Chicago. There's massive buzz because Jordan is returning. And the language in the papers, Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, said, the Savior has returned, right? I was at the Mountain West Championship game a few weeks ago. Sorry to bring that up on Christmas Eve, but you know, hey. And we were there, and I was hanging out with Lachlan, one of our staff members, and we were talking about the season that Boise State has had. And we're talking about Talen Green. And Lachlan says, yeah, he's been the Savior of the season. And I said, I'm going to mention that Christmas Eve. So thanks, Lachlan. But we use that word, right, because it seems like things were hopeless, and into that hopelessness steps a figure. You remember, it's hard to believe that it was almost 14 years ago, U.S. Airways flight 1549. Remember Captain Sully, right? That plane took off and had a bird strike. They lost the engines. I mean, everybody thought they were going to die. And he's able to, what we call the miracle on the Hudson. And he was hailed as a lowercase s, a small s, Savior. Do you know, even the dictionary, I went online, looked up Webster's. Webster's defines the word Savior as, number one, one that saves from danger or destruction. Number two, and I was shocked to see this there, one who brings salvation when capitalized, and then it says, as in Jesus. I'm like, wow, the internet is preaching to me. This is amazing, right? It's like, that's cool. It's right there. How many of you know that the more desperate the setting, the darker it is, the greater the need is for a hero, or a lowercase s, Savior? We use this terminology all the time. We love these stories of a hero or a lowercase s, Savior. So there is one who we celebrate, though, who is the capital S, the single capital S Savior. And Jesus is indeed the all-time, undisputed greatest hero ever. We took the last 4 weeks here at Living Hope to talk about our need for hope and peace and joy and love. But most of all, we need redemption and we need salvation. And how one man, the God-man Jesus Christ, made this all possible through his life. He made the rescue possible for people from sin and gave us hope. One man rescued humanity from eternal separation from God and made peace possible with our Creator. One man rescued mankind from the trap of joyless self-fulfillment and showed us a better way. And one man made it possible to truly love by showing us what the greatest love looked like and empowering us to love like he does. See, if you look at the Bible begins with and it ends with a God who desires to dwell with his people. If you look at the first chapters of Genesis and the last chapters of Revelation, beginning and the end, it's all about a God who desires to dwell with his people. And the pages between are full of stories of how God, our ever-present God, moves heaven and earth sometimes to be with his people because of his great love. But we see the problem enter in. And the problem from the garden until today, modern day, humanity repeats the pattern of rebellion against God, the God who loves us. See, Christmas isn't like this. We celebrate Christmas on the 25th. Christmas Day is not an end unto itself. It's not like on December 26th that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were like, well, that was fun. Let's go back to Nazareth now. And, you know, that was cool. That was weird, but it was cool. It's like, it's the beginning of this life that would truly be the light of the world, a life that led to redemption, a miraculous birth that led to a miraculous life that led to a miraculous resurrection. We love Christmas because we love that God has offered us salvation. If we would repent and turn to Him in faith, receive His gift of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, man, that's what this whole thing is all about. Because God loves us so much that He wrote Himself into the story to save us. See, we see at Advent, we talk about that word Advent, it means arrival. We see at Advent the visible manifestation of God's love in the thing we call the incarnation. God in human flesh. A literal, visible, tangible display of what love is, of who love is in a human being. That passage we read from a minute ago in Isaiah chapter 60, if you were to continue to read in that chapter, it starts off with His first advent, but then it talks about that idea I mentioned about Him actually being light. See, at the end of Isaiah, in chapter 60, verses 19 through 21, I want you to look at what Christmas is going to ultimately make possible and bring. At His second advent, when the King returns in His glory, it says, no longer will you need the sun to shine by day. Does that like blow your mind at all, the fact that we're going to have light and there's not going to be a sun? There's going to be no S-U-N, there will be an S-O-N, but you won't need the sun, the S-U-N, to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light by night, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. That is what gets us through day by day, is that that day is coming. It says, your sun will never set. Your moon will not go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever. I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. It's beautiful. Think about that light. As we close here, we're going to sing about when that light, the light of the world, actually entered the world. And again, God could have done this any way He chose. Because you know that light can be very, very small, not significant. You have a little tea light, perhaps, a birthday candle, something like that. You've got everything from that to the sun, and our sun is a small star compared to some of the other ones. You've got massive things up there. So how does God choose to bring His light of the world into the world? In the still quiet of a baby. That's why we call it Silent Night, Holy Night. We light candles on Christmas Eve because they're a soft and a delicate light, like the light of the world coming into this world. In just a moment here, I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, Pastor Matt and I, we each have a candle up here, and we're going to go to each one of these sections, and we're going to light the people up, light your, not you up front, but your candles. That would be a Christmas to remember. We're going to light your candle, and then we want you to pass it on your row and then pass it back. And once the room, over a few minutes, once everyone's candles are lit, we're going to sing Silent Night together, and then we're going to dismiss you and wish you a Merry Christmas, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll do this together. Father, just thank you for this beautiful evening together. God, I'm thankful for the musicians and their talents and how they're using them for you to glorify your name and to lead us in praise and worship of our remembrance of Jesus coming into this world. God, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight that is struggling with this whole thing, this whole idea of salvation and forgiveness, Lord, I don't know what stands between them and you, but I pray tonight that whatever that is, that that would be torn down, that they would just wave the white flag in their heart, that they would ask you for this forgiveness that you have made possible through your life. Lord, that they would come to know you tonight as their Savior, that they would turn to you and you alone as the forgiver of their sins. And Lord, for the rest of us here tonight, those of us who know you and we can remember when in our lives we stopped and said, yes, yes, Jesus, I receive your gift of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. We want to celebrate that tonight. God, just thank you. You're amazing. You are such an amazing God. And thank you that we have the ability to know you. Thank you that we have the ability to worship you and to celebrate your beautiful, amazing story tonight in this place. We love you, Jesus. We give you glory and praise. Amen.